Hello, and welcome to this week's Next Sense Institute podcast. My name's Trudy Smith. I'm the manager of continuing professional education at the Next Sense Institute, and I'm also your podcast host for today. We're continuing our discussion on advocacy with people with lived experience, and it's my very great pleasure to have Naomi Clary here with me today. Naomi, welcome. Could you please introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes. Hello, my name's Naomi. As you mentioned, I'm the New South Wales Programs Facilitator for Here For You. I've been with Here For You for almost 3 years. I started as a mentor and I forgot, but I was a mentee in 2009 or 2010. It was like one workshop, but I loved it. And fast forward to 2021, I thought, oh, why not become a mentor? And then they were looking for a programs facilitator, and I thought, okay, why not? That sounds like fun. And that's my one job. I have another job. I am a support coordinator, so I help people with hearing loss, people who use Auslan with their NDIS plan, so I have a bit of experience in that area as well. I was born profoundly deaf. I had a cochlear implant on my right side since I was a baby, and I had my left side with a cochlear implant as well. However, I did not enjoy the experience having both cochlear implants on, and that's a bit about my hearing loss.
Thank you. And I appreciate you telling us that. And we're going to unpack lots of what you've just said in our future questions. Thank you for providing such a comprehensive overview as to who you are and what it is that you do. And I want to start with your experiences of advocating for yourself, whether that was as a student or in your life in general. How do you use advocacy in your life?
It's such a good question, because I feel like as a child, you don't really think about that until you get into high school. And reflecting back, I didn't realize I was only self-advocating for myself towards my parents more. And I think ever since going into high school, that's when being able to open up to other people to have my needs heard. And it was a lot of hesitation at the start, because I wasn't sure what my needs were. And after seeing my mom advocating for myself and my sister as well, because she's got hearing loss, just seeing the passion and the drive she has, making sure that we had the same rights as hearing peers at school. And throughout that journey, I felt I didn't have the same passion my mom did until I got out in the real world at uni. Yeah. And just having that exposure to my mum especially has given me that if she can do it, I can do it. And meeting other people with hearing loss as well and sharing that lived experience, that's when I realized, hold on, I have been advocating for myself and others as well. And I wanted to expand my knowledge on what it means to advocate for people with hearing loss. And that was sort of my journey with advocacy. And Here For You also played a huge part, because they provided that safe space for people with shared lived experiences. And yeah, it's a lot to unpack when I was asked about the advocacy, because how does one become a good advocate for themselves and for others as well?
I think that's so interesting when you talk about a safe space. That was what I was thinking about when you talked about primary school to high school and being hesitant to advocate for yourself. Is it because you didn't feel like high school was a safe place for you to be asking for things that you needed?
I feel like I had already a supportive system at school, so I didn't have the chance to figure out what my challenges were, what barriers I had, until I left the high school, because I had such a routine to go through, and I was used to having having my needs heard with the help of my mom and the teachers I had, and just seeing what they've done for me and wanting to do that for myself as well, having my own voice. And I think it wasn't until university that made me, hold on, I need to speak for myself.
Sure. And that's a real part of growing up too, isn't it? It's that all of a sudden, you know, letting go of your pet, you don't have to always have your mum with you into adulthood sort of speaking up for you. And I guess there would have been some challenges for you looking back at, so what exactly did my mum ask for? What is in place around me that I now need to ask for in university?
Yeah. So I didn't realise, but she was always making sure that the teachers understood how to use the FM. So the assistive technology in the classroom to ensure that I have access to information. She also stresses the importance of visual cues in the classroom. And I'm always being comfortable sitting in the front row at school. So it wasn't something that I was like, oh, I always want to sit in the back. I actually wanted to learn. So I would be that student that sits at the front row and was ready to learn. And I've also had supportive friends do write notes for me in the class as well. And I had such an amazing, amazing supportive teacher who would come into the classroom and write notes for me. She also taught me a lot in just being myself. And just, I think if I could pick one thing, she taught me kindness and patience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, patience towards people who are trying to help and just don't know how to help.
Yeah, I reckon patience, because I've noticed that we're all always thinking about ourselves, and it's not a bad thing. It's important to ensure that we have our needs heard, but also putting ourselves first. But there are times when I'm just thinking, I'm not putting myself first a lot. And that's when I realised, okay, I need to have patience, but also I should expect other people to have patience too.
Absolutely.
It takes two to tango. And, yeah, it was just a lot of little things that I picked on from many people of what it means to advocate for myself and having the patience to educate others, but also expecting them to have patience to be educated by me as well.
Absolutely. I think that two-way street is really important. Is that something that you do either in your work for Hear For You in terms of that wider community of helping other deaf and hard of hearing peers?
Yeah, so I always, whenever I meet people that have not met with a person with hearing loss, I always stress the fact that just because you meet me doesn't mean that I represent all of the deaf community. There is so many wonderful individuals. There's a variation, like that you've got people with hearing loss but no hearing devices. You've got people who have hearing aids, people with one cochlear implant and a hearing aid on the other. You've got people with one cochlear implant and many more. You've got people who only rely on spoken language. And then you've got people who use both spoken language and Auslan. And you've got people who are heavily involved in the deaf community and part of the deaf culture and use Auslan as well.
So you see part of your role in advocacy as actually teaching people about deafness and the community and all of the different ways that you can be deaf.
Yeah, that's part of, I think for me, I try to represent the invisible community in between the deaf community and the hearing world, because there are many of us with hearing loss that use spoken language but don't feel we have 100% like a place in the hearing world or the deaf community. I've met many people and they say they feel in between, and that's completely fine. I've had people say, oh, I feel I'm not deaf enough in the deaf community or hearing enough in the hearing community, which is fine. This is why we want to establish this sense of community, because there's so many of us out there just sort of don't have a true identity with their hearing loss, and that's okay. I'm still navigating. I'm still working out what it means to be a person with hearing loss.
Yeah, I can imagine that is that challenge of that's such an interesting phrase, that you're not deaf enough.
Yeah.
That I think people from the hearing community will sometimes be challenged by. So is that some of the conversations that you have at Hear For You around working out your identity and who your people are?
Yeah. So there's been a lot of terminology in the communities, whether to use the deaf word with the big capital D, which is commonly associated with the deaf culture. I find myself not quite there yet because I am still navigating how I feel, where I am in the both worlds. And I feel at this stage, I strongly associate with the word deaf with the lowercase d. And there's many others who also use hearing loss, people use deafness. There's just a whole range of identities. And honestly, if you're navigating into your identity, no one is to tell you. And I just think it's important that we are open to that idea of no one person is the same. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, it can be such a small part of who you actually are. Like you're someone who maybe you like sport, maybe you like watching TV, maybe you're a great cook. All of those things are part of your identity too. And the way that you communicate should be, you know, sort of something you have to work out, but also there's other things about you that are probably as interesting as that I'm sure you feel.
Yeah. Every time I get asked about an interesting fact about myself, I always think about the most boring things, like, oh, just got to tell you I have hearing loss or type 1 diabetes. But if you want to ask something interesting, I am lost for words because it's like, do you want to know which TV show I'm watching or which sports? Like, what's interesting?
Absolutely. And you know, we all find different things interesting. You and I were having conversation about pets before and and those sorts of things too. Do you feel like that's what people are expecting you to talk about when they ask you who you are?
I think it's important because it avoids the awkward conversations I have later on when I meet with people who don't know that I have cochlear implant or type 1 diabetes as well, because my cochlear implant is hidden by my hair, which is, I think, a habit I've had growing up. I've always concealed it, and people assume that I'm hearing because they find that my speech is pretty good. And many people assumed I have a British accent before they think, oh, she may be deaf, which is interesting because it's the same when I'm walking past someone. If I don't hear them, they think, oh, she's ignoring me, but they don't think to, oh, she may be deaf. And I don't know if it's because people assuming that hearing loss is associated with the older population. Yeah,
it's interesting, isn't it? Because we know that all of us are likely going to end up with some kind of hearing loss because of old age. But having a cochlear implant, therefore you're cured, and you should be interacting and hearing every single thing around you. It's interesting. I'm interested in that you benefited from hear from you in sort of 2009, 2010 as a mentee, and now you're contributing and now you have such a big role at Hear For You. We have talked about this organisation before, so our audience does know what a great organisation you are. Is that important to you to have those conversations with teens and around some of these topics?
Yeah. I just find it interesting because my mindset when I was a teenager was totally different to when I was a young adult. I do remember being a teenager and thinking, what's here for you? And attending the workshop, I was nervous. You know, it's a whole new space with new people. I didn't know what to expect. But once my parents left the room and it was just us, you know, the people with hearing loss, and I think just feeling that sense of comfortable with myself because just seeing other mentors and mentees with cochlear implants and hearing aids and knowing that they know what it's like to face communication barriers, and that anxiety was gone from the communication barriers that I get was gone. And I remember talking with a mentor who was telling me about a failed experience with her second cochlear implant, and that made me feel so much better because I didn't have a great experience with my left cochlear implant, and it was like that sense of less pressure of having to be hearing and just having that shared lived experience gave me that confidence to be myself. And later on, many years later, I thought, oh, to become a mentor, I wanted to do the same for the future generations. I want them to know that it's okay to be yourself and you are you first. You just happen to have hearing loss. you are not that person with hearing loss, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. No, personal first or second. Absolutely. And I feel like that's what identity is, isn't it? It's about finding a shared experience, and that becomes part of your identity. It's that I don't have to talk about that because you already know about all of that because you've got it too. Let's talk about interesting things. But I'm with my people now, and I think that's a really interesting point. I wonder, Naomi, what advice you've got for other people in the community who might be considering either being a mentor or needing to advocate for whatever their identity is. What's your advice for them?
Oh, there's so many things I wish to share. I think the biggest thing is to be yourself and remember that it takes a lot of confidence to ask for help, and it does not mean you're weak. It's just knowing what you need and being able to communicate that with others. And it's important to know that you have the right to pick your needs, to pick the supports you need. And if you're figuring out who you are with your hearing loss, that's okay. I'm 27 and I'm still navigating with my identity. I'm just glad that I have that safe space with Hear For You, because I've met similar lived experience. And I'm glad where my life is going through now, and I'm looking forward to the future. And yeah, there's just so much more to say, but just want to say, be who you are, and it's okay if you're still figuring out.
I think that's beautiful. I think we should never have figured this out, because I feel like we're lifelong learners. We're going to keep figuring out new things about us and being ourselves. But I think that's beautiful. It's that the journey's never over. For any of us, but you just keep, each time you recognize an additional need, asking for that help, not being weak, that it's not weak. It's just a case of, I want to be alongside you and I need this for that to happen.
Because I remember during the workshops, and somebody said, I was a mentee, and one of the mentors was talking about studying to become a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, oh, if she's becoming a lawyer, I can. And she was saying, when I went into the smaller classrooms, I was nervous about using the FM, because she felt she was the only one using something assistive. But she thought, hang on, I'm here to learn. I want to make the most of it. I have the same right as a hearing person to access information. So I'm just going to get the FM. And in that small moment of just giving the FM to the tutor, that was like a small moment of self-advocacy, and
absolutely,
that was important. Yeah, and just incredible little things like that.
But that statement of, I have the same right as everybody else in this room to learn from the teacher, and that is a really powerful moment. It must be terrifying.
Yeah, like, it's funny because it's little things like that that could seem massive at the time, but once you've done that little step, it's like that little step to the, I don't know how to say metaphors, I'm not great with metaphors, but it's like the little steps to reach to the top. You got to take little steps to the top.
Absolutely. It's you know, starting with something enormous and gradually building away at it. And every time you do that and it's successful, you get more confident about the next big ask that you have to do.
Yeah.
And so that's our takeaway from today. Be yourself. Start small, build confidence, and you do absolutely have the right to be alongside everybody else in any experience that you choose for yourself.
Yeah.
Naomi, this has been great, really powerful. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you. It is such a great honour to be here and to share my experience with you. And thank you.
It's appreciated. Thanks, everyone, for being with us today, and we look forward to talking with you next week.